If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Hey, friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a girlfriend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Support for today's show comes from PrepDish, a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. No more thinking about your meals. Let PrepDish do the planning for you. Sign up and you'll receive an email with a grocery list and prep ahead instructions so all of your meals are ready for the week. No guesswork needed. And now, Allison, the founder of PrepDish, is offering you a $4 month-long trial. You guys, that's right. You get to try it out for only a dollar per week. Just go to prepdish.com/happyhour to get your first month of PrepDish for only $4. Guys, you are listening to episode number 193, and my guest today is Lindsay Kramer. Lindsay is a farmer's wife, a mama to four precious girls, who she also homeschools, an oil ninja. I gave her that title myself. In fact, she loves oil so much that she told me that she's used them before to help her pigs have their babies. I loved everything about that. I've wanted to bring Lindsay on here for a few reasons. Number one, because you people keep asking for her. And number two, because I adore her. We've hung out a few times, and every single time we're together, I feel like I'm the only person in the room with her. Also, my husband for sure has a man crush on her husband. They love to cook and host people, and we love those things as well. I start off with telling Lindsay about my kittens being born. The funny thing about this is that a few days later, we thought that these kittens were dead. It was super sad around here because we never heard from them. Then, you guys, 3 weeks later, we heard the kittens, and they are now 5 weeks old and alive and well. Lindsay and Jason started their farm in 2006, and she walks us through everything that led to them starting a farm and even tells me that their first cow that they raised tasted like a fish. Yes, you heard me right, a fish. She tells a story. It's so weird, but she tells us exactly what they learned from that first fishy cow. Also, you guys, I promise you that you're going to want to start a farm after this show, and you will know more about farming than you ever thought you could know. Lindsay also talks about supper clubs that her and Jason are going to begin hosting, and I am already clearing my calendar to make it to one. I'm serious. When I look at her Instagram page and hear her talk about farming, I think I could be a farmer. But then I remember that I've tried to grow tomato plants for the last 10 years, and I think I've honestly yielded 4 tomatoes in that entire decade. It's just not for me, you guys, but I loved hearing Lindsay talk about it, and I'm going to support them in their endeavor by buying meat from them and showing up at those supper clubs. Friends, it's been almost 4 months since my book, If You Only Knew, released, and it is so fun seeing you guys still post about it and still reading it. I believe in this book so much that I hope that every single one of you that listened to this show today gets to read it somehow. Borrow from a girlfriend. Treat yourself to a purchase on Amazon. You guys, it's been on sale recently for like $10 on Amazon. You can't beat that. Or head on into your nearest Barnes & Noble or Lifeway to get your copy as well. You guys, there's also the library. Don't forget that. Go check it out. See if they have the book there. The freedom that I have found in sharing my story is why I want you to read this book. I want you to experience that. I love to see you posting about the book, If You Only Knew. Tag me on Instagram. I'm at Jamie Ivey whenever you post. While you're at it, go find Lindsay on Instagram as well and follow her. She is 5 Chicks and a Farmer. You guys, here is my conversation with Lindsay. Hey, Lindsay, welcome to the Happy Hour.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, so I need to tell you real quick about something that happened in my house last night. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Can't wait.
And the reason I'm going to tell you is because you and your husband own a farm. And so I feel like that you're going to have experienced what I experienced last night. Are you ready?
Possibly. I'm ready.
So about 2 weeks ago, when Aaron and I were out of town, and my son Deacon sent us a picture of one of our cats. And he said, Mom, this cat looks pregnant. And I was like, no, I'm sure the cat's not pregnant, right? And well, yesterday, this cat was like meowing so much and like walking around acting kind of like out of it. And then this is too much information. So here I go. There was like fluid
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
So I thought either she's pregnant or we have like bigger problems.
Yeah.
And then, Lindsay, the cat disappeared for like the whole afternoon. And then on my deck, I start hearing little bitty baby meows. And I thought,
so sweet.
This cat just had a baby. And so fast forward like 4 hours, we get our flashlights and we're looking through our deck and we see teeny tiny kittens.
Oh my gosh. That's
and
awesome.
I was so, this is weird. I felt proud for that cat. I was like,
yes.
I don't know how animals work, but you just went and you just had your babies.
Like all by herself.
Like all by herself.
I know. How many did she have?
Well, we only saw two, which I thought was weird for
that
a cat.
That is weird. There could be more coming.
There could be more.
There could be more somewhere else.
You mean she could have them in different places?
She could have had them in different places. And maybe now she's trying to work to get them all back together. We've had
that happen before. That just gave me the chills.
I know. Cats are awesome.
So she had, the two we saw were under the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw her this morning and I was like, hey, I'm literally talking to her as if she's a person. I'm like, how are you?
Is everything okay down there?
And I just thought, man, but I wanted to see if she was pregnant. I like kind of thought I had this vision of like being there and welcoming the kittens into the world. But I don't think that's how animals work. I think
no,
they go away.
They go away all by themselves. They're like, I'm good. I'll see you later with my babies.
So now I'm super intrigued if there's more kittens somewhere.
I know. I
and
think
then
she
could have worried this morning because I couldn't find, I mean, I'm just looking through the deck. It's hard, but I didn't hear them and I couldn't find them. And then I thought, oh gosh, like something got them, you know, but I have heard them since.
And they, cats will hide their babies too. Like they'll just hide them and put them away somewhere where nobody can find them, especially predators because they're super vulnerable. We've had a cat that, she had kittens. She had like 7 babies and she put them all on top of our roof, which is not the safest place, but in her mind it was.
So she picked
each baby up and climbed up our porch, climbed up on our roof and did that 7 different times with all babies, with all of our little kittens.
Oh,
it's like
my
the cutest
gosh.
Thing. And so we kept fighting her and bringing them down and she'd put them right back up. And eventually we were like, okay, we're just going to quit fighting this battle. So we put a little cat bed up there for her to be comfortable with all of her little babies. And we'd like stick her food up on the roof. And
you're like, we're going to accommodate you.
Yeah.
You're going to get the best nursing suite ever.
I mean, if you're willing to bring 7 kittens up on the roof multiple times, you should just stay there.
So I wonder if she's just hiding them under the deck places.
She could be.
It seems like a very safe place under the deck for some reason.
Yeah. Unless they're snakes.
I know. That's what I was also worried about.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. I literally had the thought of like, this is amazing. I'm not a cat person. So people are going to hear this and think bad thoughts about me, but I'm not attached to this cat.
Right.
But I was still completely in awe of just, she just had babies under the deck and now she's taking care of them and she doesn't need me. She does what she does.
Mm-hmm. Self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient.
Motherhood's beautiful in any critter, animal, person. I mean, it's just awesome.
I think
seeing
I felt that
instinctual thing kick in.
I was so proud. Okay. So you guys, some people, I'm sure lots of people listening know who you are. Follow you on Instagram. Love watching your life. Give us a little snippet. Tell us about your family, where you live, and then we're going to talk about what you do with your husband.
Okay. So I've been married to Jason for 18 years, and we live in Fayetteville, Texas, not Arkansas. Fayetteville has about 200 people in it, so it's extremely small.
Okay. For people not in Texas, give us some surround. Like
it's right in between Austin and Houston. It's an hour and a half to each major city. So it takes me about an hour and a half to get to a Target.
How often do you go to Target then?
Rarely ever, which is kind of nice, but it's also kind of sad because I miss it sometimes.
Does Amazon Prime come to you?
Yes,
see,
every
that
day.
That solves all your problems. That's just like...
It is.
What else do you need?
It is. And it prevents me from like this impulse buying too, instead because I'm not like seeing it, like lots of things competing for my...
Yes.
You know,
attention.
Wallet.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I can just get on Amazon and say, oh, I need to order underwear. Boom.
We just did it the other day.
Socks, you know, or whatever. It's not like all these other extras. So it's
I have
nice.
So many of our staples that come from Amazon on a monthly thing. So I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Toilet paper, it just always shows up.
Yes. Yeah. So we live in a very small little town and we have 4 girls. They're 13, 10, 8, and 7.
They're so cute.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us their names. Do you tell your kids names?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us their names.
Kaylin is my oldest. Lainey Ray is the second. She's Jason's little clone, the little one that's always by his side. And then we have Ruthie and Exie Joe.
Exie Joe, where is that name from?
That name is from my great-grandmother, who is half Cherokee Indian and half German. and her name was Exie Joe. And I wanted a name for my fourth. I had a boy name and a girl name, and they both had X's in them. And I love double names. And so it was just like the perfect when we, it was either Exie or Azzy. My great grandmother, my other great grandmother's name was Azzy.
Okay.
And so, I mean, that's not that great
of a name.
I like
Exie Joe.
Thank you. People either love it or they look at me like I have a third eye and they're like, where did you,
what is this?
Like, where did you,
yeah.
Why did you name your kid
that? Does she love it?
She loves it.
Yeah.
We call her JoJo, Joji. Aww. All my girls have nicknames. Like, uh-huh. Do you do that with your kids?
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. They all have like 2 and 3 different nicknames mm-hmm. each.
Yeah.
So she loves it.
And I'll just throw it out there. If y'all want to arrange any kind of marriages between any of your girls and my boys, we're down with it.
I'm really
the
down with that
and the
too.
We're down with it.
I think that our holidays would be awesome together.
It would be amazing. okay. So you and Jason, 18 years.
18 years.
Aaron and I are almost 17. So
oh,
we're right
awesome.
Behind you.
Yeah.
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 So we, both of us.
Did
we
you
know
marry
all
young?
About marriage. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were 19.
Oh, you were young.
Yeah. I met Jason my spring semester of my freshman year of college when I was 19. And we got married that November. So
you were 19
yeah.
in spring and you met him and you got married in November.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Crazy fast. My parents were like, what is happening
right.
here? Like, why do you feel like you need to do this right
Can
now?
Can you imagine your daughter doing that?
No.
Isn't that weird to think about? That yeah. it was so normal for you and here you are happily married 18 years later.
Yeah.
But when you think about your kids, you're like, no, don't do it.
I know. I think that it took some convincing on my part to my parents. And Jason was extremely mature for his age. And there was a lot of convincing that went on there. But I think it would depend on the person,
yeah.
you know, with my daughter.
Yeah.
I hope that they don't wander around and, you know, whatever for too long of a time. Mm-hmm. But I also don't know if they will just get married yeah. early at 19 like I will.
So you were a baby. I was a baby too, but I was 23, which is still
yeah.
kind of young
yeah.
sometimes in some cultures to get married. Yeah. But yeah. If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music, just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, so you guys have a farm.
We have a farm.
I want to hear, because I don't even know this, the backstory, because you guys, how long have you been doing this?
So we've been farming for 11, going on 12 years. We started in 2006.
So tell me this, how does one just say, hey, let's farm?
Right.
And was it a side hustle at first? Because this is your full-time family gig now. Mm-hmm. So tell me the whole thing.
Okay. So in 2005, Jason and I were kind of had a health crisis. And it had taken me 3 years to get pregnant with my oldest daughter. We went through lots of infertility. I was on lots of medication, pre-diabetic, extremely unhealthy. Jason was a Houston firefighter and went to get a life insurance policy because that's the smart thing to do when you're risking your life every day for people.
And you have a wife and
right. Yeah. So we were like, okay, we're going to be adults and get a life insurance policy. And he went to get his life insurance policy and they denied him because of his blood work came back and it was just such a train wreck.
Wow.
So we were both just living a life that was just very unhealthy. And in our 20s, once we had our daughter, we started to notice this is like affecting our overall well-being, like how we feel every day, how we interact with one another, how we are as a family. Our daughter was sick and there was just a lot of health problems that went on. And so we just kind of hard stop changed the way that we were eating. And
just out of just, you guys just said, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Here's how we think we can fix it.
Yeah.
We're going to, and what did you change? Like no soda. What'd you do?
We went to, back then it was called like the zone diet or something like that, or the Mediterranean diet, which is basically like meat and vegetables, good carbs. I mean, we ate oatmeal and rice and we just went back to real food. We went back to real food and we didn't try to overthink things and figure out like as far as, you know, too much fat, not enough fat, too much protein, not enough protein, too many, you know, like we just went back to just very basic real food.
Do you know that this is how Aaron lost like 50 pounds?
Really?
Yeah. When we had our son.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. We had our son, Caden. All of a sudden he was like, I was losing weight from pregnancy. And he's like, and he, all he did was think, I'm just going to eat real food.
Yeah.
Like meat and veggies and cut up. And yeah. And he lost 50 pounds.
That's amazing.
I know.
So yeah, we just changed everything and for sure cut out sodas. It was just like a complete, I mean, we were Dr. Pepper, Snickers. Mm-hmm. I grew up very Southern and ate a lot of Southern foods. And when I learned how to cook as a new mom and a wife and all of that, I just went back to my roots and started cooking very Southern fried.
Yeah.
Lots of processed foods. And that just didn't go well for us.
Because it's easy.
It's really easy. Yeah. A lot of convenience.
And it tastes good too, listen.
Yeah, I mean, and it tastes know, it does. Good. And I still love me some Southern there food you when I, yeah. you know, I'm, you know. But yeah, so we went back to the very basics of, you know, where does food come from? And we started buying from farms because that at the time it was either a grocery store or a farm. Mm-hmm. There was no kind of in between middle anything. It was a very distinct difference.
And where did y'all live? Houston?
We lived in College Station at the time. And then, so yeah, we just started buying from farms. And Jason's family owned some land in Brenham. And we had the opportunity to move out on land with on family land. And we had 120 acres at our fingertips.
That you could just do whatever you wanted.
Yeah. It was the most, it was such a gift. And Jason's aunt was just such a key encourager for us during that time to just, hey, you're buying all this food from all these people and you now have land, like do something with it. So we had a blank palette to just do whatever. And we started really just for our family. We got chickens, did a garden, got a couple of pigs, some cows, and we were still sourcing, you know, like dairy and vegetables and stuff that we couldn't grow ourselves. And not 100% of our food is like from local small farms, even still. But as much as we could, we tried to grow as much as we could ourselves and find it from some from another farm or another person.
Okay, let me just stop real quick, because this seems like everyone's like ideal. Like, I dream of chickens all the time, Lindsay. I every year for the past 17 years of my marriage, I'm like, I'm going to have a garden. I kill everything. So this seems like everyone's like, this is exactly what we want. Like, the angels are singing. Was it just that easy?
No, it was. Well, for our family, it was easy. Like, when we were just doing it for ourselves, I mean, there was a learning curve there for
sure.
And
you taught yourself.
And there was lots of failure. Oh, yeah. I remember Jason and I, we raised meat chickens up to weight.
That
to
means
where,
to eat.
Yeah, to eat.
Okay.
So we raised broilers is what they're technically called. And we got them ready to butchering weight. And I remember putting the girls to bed and just looking at Jason going, okay, now what do we do? Like, how do we do this?
Like, because you guys had to kill them.
Yeah.
And all,
yeah, it was about 20 or 30. We wanted enough to stock our freezer.
Yes.
And so I was like, okay, now, like, how do we do this? So we pulled up the YouTubes.
Of course. You can learn anything on the internet.
Exactly. Yeah. And apparently, you know, somebody recorded the Amish butchering chickens, because, you know, they wouldn't have recorded themselves.
Right, exactly.
But somebody recorded the Amish, and we watched how to butcher chickens and just pause, you know, and just would do it and experiment. So there was a lot of like trial and error. There was a lot of failure too. Yeah. Our first cow tasted like fish.
Why?
Because we,
what?
Yeah, it was, I was like, I don't want any part of this. I want my beef to taste like beef.
Well, sure. Right.
It's, you beef, know, yeah. Like, it just threw me off. I was like, if this is what grass-fed beef tastes like, I'm not going to eat it, you know? And we'd already had beef from other farms, but our beef tasted like fish. And so what we did wrong was we sprayed our entire pastures, which is, it's a good thing to do, but not right before you butcher. But we sprayed it with fish emulsion for, you know, a natural fertilizer.
Okay.
And it flavored the meat to taste like fish, because it was fish emulsion. And so, and we did that, you know, within a week or two of butchering the animal. Uh-huh. So the, it had a very strong fishy taste. So
was all that meat wasted, or did you, what?
Oh, not with Jason. He's like, shoot, we're going to eat every bit of this. And I'm like, you know, just trying to force it down. But, it wasn't easy, but we were just kind of willing to learn. And we were at the time, Jason was a Houston firefighter. So we had that income. Mm-hmm. I was a photographer and traveled around, and I did weddings.
I didn't know that about you either.
Yeah.
I love that. That's why your pictures are so amazing on Instagram.
Thank you.
You got the photographer eye.
So, I mean, I did photography for years, and so we had that, and we just kind of had this really amazing environment to learn and fail and trial and error and experiment. And so we just started very organically like that. And I feel like Jason and I are both entrepreneurial. Like, Jason's always had like a side job, even in the fire department, or he's always had a couple of different businesses that he's done here and there, and detailing people's cars in their office parking lots and pressure washing gas stations and park. I mean, he's always found ways to make money, and which is awesome, but I'm that way too. And so for us, we're like, well, let's just not do this for ourselves. Let's just not only grow food just for our family. And at the time, that was kind of when Food Inc. was coming out.
Yes.
And a lot of people were starting to question just the food system in general and where food comes from. And we simply wanted to be able to offer people an alternative for people that really wanted to connect to their food and know the people that are raising their food and know exactly what is in their food. And so we just started that way. And back then, we didn't have Instagram. We'd have Facebook.
And this is 2005 still?
This is 2005, 2006.
Because you've been doing it for your family.
Yeah.
And now you're like, hey, what if we made this a business?
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it wasn't like 5 years of doing it for just our family. We were like, full on, let's do this for our family. And now
we'll just get a little bit. You'll have it in you.
Exactly. And, you know, all of our friends and our family, they saw what we were doing and they were like, you know what? Why don't we just get our eggs from you? Like, we'll just buy our eggs from you. And, you know, if you're going to grow yourself a cow, why don't you do that for us? And so we were just, okay, well, and then when it came time to buy it, they may or may not have been there to buy it. So we're like, okay, now we have all this extra. What do we do with it? And then it just kind of really started we started with Yahoo groups. And do you remember those?
Yes, I remember those.
Yes, we would get in Yahoo groups and find like the foodie groups uh-huh. and people that were wondering, you know, or like the healthy groups. Yeah. And we would just tell them, hey, you know, we're a farm in Brenham. We were in Brenham. Uh-huh. That's where our first farm was. That's where our family's land was. We were in Brenham, Texas. And hey, we're in Brenham and we have all this extra stuff and we'll bring it to you. And so we just grew we still have some of our very first customers are still buying from us today.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Extremely precious.
Now, here's my question that I keep wondering. When you guys changed and started knowing where your food's coming from, does your health change?
Absolutely. And that was our driving force was because, I mean, we saw a complete 180 in our health and just overall how we felt. And at the time, it was just our oldest daughter. And we were just, it was just complete. It was like a light bulb went off or somebody took the veil off of our faces and just everything was clear and crisp. And we really wanted to be able to share that with other people and to encourage them to be their own health advocates and just to take control of that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's exactly how it started for us.
So then you're still having babies, growing a farm. When did you guys make the transition to Fayetteville and say, this is our full-time gig?
Yeah.
No more firefighting, no more photography, we're in.
Right. Well, so a lot of people don't know this about me, that I fought farming, the business aspect of farming.
Because you're like, let's just do this
I'm like,
for our food.
Right. Like, we're just going to grow our food and we can kind of, you know, if we mess up, we mess up and it's not that big of a deal. And there was more freedom when we were just kind of doing it for ourselves.
Well, for sure, because there's not a lot on the line.
Right. And it's not, you know, it's not as big of a undertaking.
Yeah.
Like, we have way more animals right now than we did when we first started, just for our own little backyard selves.
Uh-huh.
So I fought it because I liked kind of control. I like to be able to be a little free spirited also and go where the wind takes me for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And even just in our own farming for our family, I would notice like, okay, well, we're getting ready to go to church and there's an animal that's sick. Or there's water spewing out of the pasture and we have to go and
it changes everything.
It just changes the trajectory of your whole day. Or, you know, we had great plans to go on vacation and something happens and we can't go. We have to stay. And there was just a lot of like, the farm just kept, I say, like intervening with my agenda and my plans because I was holding my agenda so tightly. Yeah. And so it was really hard for me to just kind of let control go.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jason was born to do this. Like, I saw such a light in him and such passion. And he was always the kind of guy that wanted to be outside, nurturing things, growing things. When we were first married, we lived in a really small apartment on the third floor. And he had this desire to grow a garden. And he'd always just been, he was raised on 100 acres. So he just loved nature and being outside. And we lived in an apartment, which was really hard for him.
It's hard to have a garden in an apartment.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah. Exactly. He was like, I can't do anything. You know, like I can't even grow plants. And so he got all these little container plants and had a garden on our balcony and outgrew that. And I remember him going to talk to our landlord that owned the apartment complex and asked if he could have a little patch of land behind our apartment building that wasn't being used for anything.
To grow some vegetables?
To grow some vegetables. And so he had him a little garden and, the little kids would get off the school bus and they'd come over and see what he was doing in there. And he planted a little marigold border for like natural pest, you know, detraction or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he did it right. It was so precious. But he'd just bring those little kids over and they'd work in the garden together. So that's just like who he is. And so I was such a brat with farming and just really kind of fought that, you know, and I wanted to be able to travel
for
and
sure.
to go on vacation.
Yeah.
I knew that a life of farming would ensure that we would probably not get to, I would probably not get to travel as often as I wanted. And there would be a lot of sacrifice on our part. And I didn't want that at the time.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why none of my plants grow. Because I just leave them. I don't tend to them.
Fend for yourself.
Fend for yourself, tomatoes. Sprout up and grow.
Yeah.
Chickens. Feed me. Yeah. Yeah. I know I tell Aaron all the time I want chickens.
Yeah.
Because it really does. It just seems like, oh my gosh, this would be so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, family of six, sweet, a lot of eggs.
Right.
And he always is very quick to be like, Jamie, you don't even, you can't keep a tomato plant alive. How are you going to keep some chickens alive? Okay, so Jason's saying, hey, I think we should do this full time.
Yeah.
You're pushing back. It's going to mess up my life.
Right.
How did you, where did you come to say yes?
So,
and did you have four kids by now?
We had four kids. Yes. Okay. So, we moved to Fayetteville. We were able to, we grew Yonder Way Farm, the business. And
in Brenham.
Uh-huh. And his family wanted to sell the land that we were living on at the time. And there was no way that we could purchase this land. It was kind of a little out of our budget. Mm-hmm. So, and it was a lot of land. And so we were like, okay, we have to either not farm anymore and go back to doing, you know,
our
regular day jobs, or we have to make a decision and purchase property, purchase a farm ourselves.
I mean, that's all in.
That's all in. And land is the most expensive investment in farming, is the land.
Yeah.
And then you have your equipment and all of that. And so anyway.
And does that mean you need good land?
You need good land, but you need a lot of land.
Okay.
We only own 40 acres, but we lease a couple thousand acres for our cattle.
Wait, so, right now?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You need a lot of land for cattle.
You need a lot of land, especially in Texas and especially during seasons of drought.
Okay.
You've got to have a lot. And in the county that we live in, I mean,
aren't we land in a drought right now?
I think we're good.
Out?
Yeah, we're
okay.
good.
Okay.
But in Fayette County where we live, the land is anywhere between 10,000 and 20,000 an acre. So it's extremely expensive.
Uh-huh.
So in order for us to own, I mean, there's no possible way we could ever justify owning 2,000 acres. I mean, there are parts of the country that you can. Yeah. Montana's land is cheaper and Northern California and just places like that, but not where we live. So we couldn't justify purchasing that much land.
So you bought 40 acres.
Yeah. So we bought 40 acres. We found our farm and we did not have a lot of time to find the new farm and move to the new farm. And so it just kind of really happened so quickly. We went to look at this property. We weren't even pre-approved, but we live in a small area. So we knew the realtor.
Uh-huh.
We're like, we're good for it. We promise. You know, cross our hearts.
Yeah.
Pinky promise.
Pinky swear.
Yeah. And so we went and looked at it and just fell in love with it. We wanted it to feel like a farm, a true like American homestead.
Did
farm.
It have a house on it and everything?
Yeah. Our house was built in 1906, which I love old homes. Mm-hmm. And so that was just a extra bonus for me. And then it had this beautiful big red barn that was built in the late 1800s.
Oh my gosh.
And it had history there of farming and agriculture. And at one time it was a hatchery and then a dairy. And so anyway, the owner of the property found out what we were doing. And, you know, when you bring in pigs to the neighborhood, we were kind of a little like, uh-oh.
People don't like that?
Not pigs. They're worried that they're going to stink. Our pigs don't stink because they're pastured. And they're able to move around.
What do you mean?
Okay, well.
So let me give you some backstory on me too.
Yeah.
When I was younger, until I was about 8, my dad and his uncle, so my grandpa and my great uncle, they ran a hog farm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was 8. I don't remember it much.
Right.
I remember when my dad came home, he had to strip down. These are memories I had. My mom wouldn't let his clothes in the house.
Yeah.
And it stunk so bad out there. But they were just, they didn't know. This is just how they did it, right? So they're just in big things.
Like a house or a pen.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So pigs just have a negative connotation, and especially nowadays, because traditionally commercial pig raising is in houses in confinement, cooped up in really small areas on concrete most of the time.
Yes.
And so what we do is so different from that, but still there was just this, like, people think we're bringing in like a pig farm to the area.
Which does stink.
And so
tell me what pasteurized me. I mean, I'm thinking I can figure it out that they're like in a pasture.
Yeah. And so pastured pork is, it means that our animals are raised on pasture.
And
on
grass. Good.
And that's good. And we rotate everything. Everything moves. Nothing ever stays in the same place for too long.
You mean animals?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because we allow the land to rest and to reset. And everything works together really beautifully in nature. You know, like you bring the cattle through and they graze everything on the top and they eat the grass. And then you bring the chickens through and they break
get
up
underneath
the poop. And the poop that the cows left, and they spread it out all out and kind of like fertilize it because they pick through it.
Uh-huh.
They're looking for bugs and grubs and that sort of thing. Dung beetles that are found in poop.
Uh-huh.
There's a science lesson for you today.
There is a science lesson right there. Yes.
And then you bring the pigs behind them and they till it into the land and they turn the land over and it just kind of all works really well together. And so we are kind of just the polar opposite of what a traditional, like what a commercial farm would be. We are a multi-species farm and, you know, most of the time you'll either just have like one, like cattle or pigs or be a chicken farm. And we just kind of allow nature to work with nature.
This is so interesting.
Thank you.
I mean, it really is.
It's kind of fun.
Even just like rotating the animals. I've never heard, I mean, I haven't heard any of this hardly because that's not my life, but I never would have even thought that that made a difference.
Right. And what we're doing is not anything, it's not a new concept. It's actually an old concept. This is how our grandparents and generations before them, this is how they had everything kind of work together on their homesteads. They didn't, you know, they couldn't have just one species because their life depended upon a multi species type setup.
So does this mean that you have, you're going to get better product? You're going to get better meat?
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to get better meat because, you know, your animals are living in a very stress-free environment. Jason is super, super stress protective of our animals. And we'll even tell people when we're doing tours, don't chase our animals.
Like, you know, that's a real thing, the stress-free thing.
Yes.
Stress. So a stressed cow.
Yeah.
What happens? Why is that going to be bad meat?
A stressed cow releases pheromones and their meat tastes like junk. Like, it tastes awful. And so even as far as like the butchering process for us, it has to be done in a way where the animal's not stressed. And
this
so,
is so interesting. So how do you do that?
So we work with a really small processing facility and, you know, as opposed to a big USDA processing facility, our animals are not given antibiotics. They're not vaccinated. And so we don't want them potentially in the very last stages getting sick from other animals. And we typically bring our animals a day or two before they're processed and or butchered, and they'll rest on pasture. We have a little area at our processing facility. I mean, it took us a long time to build this relationship and to find a person that was willing to do this. But they allow them, because our animals have never, their hooves have never been off grass. So even just putting them in a trailer and removing them from the farm is stressful. So they're releasing all of these, like, pheromones and hormones, and their bodies are just completely stressed. So we get them back to an unstressed state. And then that's when, you know.
Do y'all do this with all the animals? Like, stress-free?
Pretty much with the cows and the pigs, for sure. I mean, the chickens are a little different. I mean, But I'm the chickens are not allowed to be chased or stressed in any way, shape, or form.
I'm imagining Jason walking around, like, singing to the animals, like, I love you, cow. And, like, it's just, like, it. I'm picturing a very happy farmer with his happy animals.
That's, I mean, he whistles a lot.
He whistles. That brings the stress level down. Man.
Isn't that funny?
That is so funny. I mean, I've heard that, but I didn't really understand it.
Yeah.
Super intriguing.
Yeah. So we just want our animals to be animals, what they were intended to be, and in an environment that they were intended to be on, you know, which is grass and pasture, and just kind of let them do their thing.
Okay. And I'll say this here. We've had y'all's meat. We love it.
Thank you.
Love it. We are fans of Yonderway.
Thank you.
Huge fans.
Thanks.
Huge fans. In fact, the best eggs we've ever had.
Thank you.
That's, by far. And I know why. It's the whistling farmer.
These
are stress-free chickens.
They're happy.
They are putting out some happy, good eggs.
That's right.
Okay, guys, I hate interrupting the shows, but the sponsors make the happy hour happen. So I want to thank two of our sponsors today. The first is Mabel's Labels. What moms out there can relate to the frustration of feeling like you're constantly replacing the items that you send to daycare and school with your kids? You're all right now nodding your head and raising your hand. I know it. Mabel's Labels, stylish, durable labels, are the perfect solution for all the stuff that kids lose, which, you guys, we know is everything. Simply personalize your labels online and they'll get shipped for free to your door, ready to peel and stick on all your bottles, clothing, lunchboxes, and more. And because they're laundry and dishwasher safe and available in so many fun designs, they're sure to become your new mommy must-have. You guys, I'm getting some for my kids because they're going to camp. You know what happens at camp? They lose their stuff. Not this year. Mabel's Labels to the rescue. Visit mabelslabels.com/happyhour today to start customizing your own. And if you use the code happyhour, you're going to get 20% off your next order.
That offer code is HAPPYHOUR for 20% off your next order. Mabelslabels.com/happyhour. Guys, I also want to thank ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it? That's where ZipRecruiter comes in. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for. It identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And you guys, ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive, so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, my listeners, that's you guys, can try ZipRecruiter for free. That is right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/HH. That's ZipRecruiter.com/HH. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, you guys, back to the rest of my conversation with Lindsay. Okay, so how's Yonder Way been? I mean, you're full-fledged farm, and it looks as though, give us the real scoop, it looks as though your family does a lot of work together on the farm.
Yeah. I mean, for many years, Jason and I were the only employees along with our girls. And so that was, and we had little babies at the time too. So there were
and
a lot of.
And you homeschool. We haven't mentioned that.
Yeah. And we homeschool.
Yeah.
So that's just part farm school. We farm school.
I like that. Farm school. Can I send my kids down to you for like a month and get them like farm ready? And then they can come back and they can take care of the chickens.
Yeah. And then maybe through that, we'll, you know,
we'll kind of set up the arrangements.
Yeah, we'll have some arrangements going on. We'll get to see who's, you know,
who's compatible. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so we do. I mean, there were many years where it was just Jason and I, and now we have, let's see, 4 full-time employees. That's been such a gift to be able to not only provide for our family full-time, but to also have 4 other families that the farm is providing for as well. And so the farm is just at a really good place. We feed about 300 to 400 families a month between Houston and Austin. And honestly, that's as big as we really ever want to go.
Really?
Okay. As far as growing, we feel like any bigger than that would, we'd potentially have to maybe sacrifice some
quality
of our, quality and just our ideals and how we feel like things should be.
Uh-huh.
And we have tried, we've also fought internally the idea of shipping our meat across the country as
you
well.
You don't, do you?
We don't.
I didn't think
we
so.
We do 100% of our business in person, face to face. Like we literally put the meat that we've raised into the hands of our customers. Mm-hmm. And we, that's been very hard for us because we know that there are so many people out there who would love to support our farm and people are just so kind to us and so supportive. But at the same time, like we really feel like if we can't find 300 to 400 families in Houston and
right
Austin,
here, yeah,
which Houston is one of the biggest cities in our country.
Fourth largest.
Yes. So if we can't find that, then we really probably don't have a viable business, which we know
that's
that
a
we
good
do.
Point. Yeah.
And so relationships for us with our customers have been what has held us together and what has helped separate us from grocery stores and just, you know, normal food. Yeah.
So if people are wondering like how Houston Austin get their meat, some people come to you to pick up. And then like for us, what we did when we did it is you have a pickup spot in Austin and then we would go there on a Saturday and pick up our order.
Yeah. We wanted to build a community around food. And so we were like, okay, who are the people that would be interested in our food? And we connected with chiropractors, gyms, fitness centers, wellness doctors, neighborhoods, subdivisions.
Yeah.
And just established delivery groups within these already set up communities.
I love it.
And, you know, one drop will have 20 or 30 families that come and pick up and one will have 5 or 10. And so we have over 20 something deliveries around Houston and Austin is a growing market for us. So we're trying to, we were first on the scene in Houston. That's where our business started. Mm-hmm. And then when we moved to Fayetteville 6 years ago, we started trying to get in the Austin market
there.
So
it's so good. And I think it's really important for people to hear because they could look at you guys and be like, oh, they have this, they're running a farming business and they homeschool their four kids and their life looks super dreamy and all of these things. And they do supper clubs, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Mm-hmm. But I love that you said for so long, it was just me and Jason doing everything.
Yeah.
Like you had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You didn't start like, let's build a farm and have four employees. Mm-hmm. No.
No. I think all the time if Instagram would have existed when our farm first started, it would have looked like chaos.
Chaos.
A lot of times. Mm-hmm. Our farm is thankfully now a well-oiled machine. We've weathered many, many storms, literally and mm-hmm. whatever. Not figuratively.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I think that, yeah, oftentimes I'm like, man, if I could have like Instagrammed the beginning of our journey, it looks a lot different than how it looks now.
That's life, isn't it?
And I know it is. It's so life.
Yeah.
And that was really one of the reasons why we even got on Instagram or Facebook to begin with, was to really just connect with our local community and to show them like the daily. I'm a visual person. Mm-hmm. The photographer in me wanted to be able to like take snapshots of our farm and just share them with our customers. Yeah. And for some reason, other people, you know, wanted to see that too. And so we've been thankful for that, but we just are super, locally driven and locally minded.
I love that because you could think, okay, we could make this thing ginormous and ship everywhere and all these things.
Yeah. Well, and shipping meat alone is very expensive. I mean, it requires
a lot,
a lot. And it requires overnight shipping. It requires dry ice. It requires special packaging. And so for us, when we looked at it, we were like, man, we can't justify our customers spending this additional money towards shipping. We would much rather them find a farm near them.
That's true.
And support that farm.
I've heard you say that somewhere, I think. It's like, find somewhere local to you.
Right.
Find someone local. Farm.
They may not be good at social media, but I guarantee you they will welcome you into their community and their farm and their life in a heartbeat. Like they will be excited to have you as a part of their
community. Has social media been a good help for your business?
You know, it has, in a sense that it's enabled us to really connect with other farms out there. And I have a lot of women that are new farmers' wives and that I communicate with and I connect with them and kind of help encourage them. Yeah. But as far as monetary benefits, not necessarily for us. We always say being famous on Instagram or popular on Instagram is like being rich in Monopoly money.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't add up to anything.
Not for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for us, we're just a very, like we could ship, but we just don't have a need or desire to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I think it makes perfect sense that you should do photography when I look and when I think about your Instagram, because it's very, it's beautiful and each picture is crafted, not in a fake way, but in a like, it's very pleasing to the eye. And it does give you this kind of inside look and behind the scenes where you feel as though, I feel like I can see a little bit what happens. And we all know, and I say a thousand times on here, you see on Instagram what people want you to see on Instagram. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? We're not seeing the hardships or whatever. Well, you do show some of them. I remember when we had a big flood.
Yeah,
Hurricane Harvey. I saw that on Instagram, yeah.
Hurricane Harvey. And that was, again, for our customers because we had so many text messages and emails and people like, you know, we're praying for you guys.
Like how are your animals?
Yeah, they wanted to know how our animals were. And so that was a way that we could update them and keep them in the loop on, we're doing great. Like, we're feeling your prayers. Like, we can, you know, it's just so, it's such an amazing time to be able to, like, share that part. But yeah, we do. We try to remain pretty positive because nobody wants to really support negative businesses or negative people.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of hard stuff that I kind of keep sacred for my people and the people that know me well and all of that. But yeah, for the most part, we try to be as authentic and real as we can be, but also celebratory of the beauty and the good. Yeah. And that's where the pretty images come in. And
well, it does make you want to think about where you buy your food with your images, which is good. And so even if people aren't coming to you, I think it does make them think about farming and animals and food and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of bad, what has been the hardest part about working with your husband?
The hardest part. There's not a separation there of, he's kind of my boss.
Is that hard for you?
It is when he is very type A and very structured.
And you're like this creative.
I'm like just like this. Yeah, he's so, Jason is the most driven, hardworking, just, he's just so smart business-wise too. And I'm like the visionary dreamer. I'm constantly dreaming and I'm constantly like coming up with ideas. And he's like more of the implementer. So we really do kind of complement each other really well. But where it doesn't go well for us is when he is like, you know, I have deadlines or, you know, something that I really do have to do and I drop the ball. And then it kind of, you know, could carry over into
your marriage,
into our marriage, into our home life. I mean, our whole life is all encompassing. Our children are there with us every day. So it's just like everything is just right there dropped in your lap. Your marriage, your children, your work.
Your job, your income. Yeah.
Yeah, everything.
So is that some of the best as well?
It's absolutely the best for us. For our family, I didn't know that that was something that was going to end up being one of my favorite things about farming. I actually didn't really want that. I was like, I kind of wanted this separate, everything separate instead of holistic and everything is just all encompassing right there in our world. But it's actually been a really big gift to me. And I feel like I've grown a lot because of it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I am such a fan of y'all's farm. And Aaron, you know, he has a massive man crush on your husband. So
they're so cute together.
They are just, it's hilarious. It's so hilarious. Okay, so real quick, you put up something on Instagram the other day that is so intriguing to me. And you guys have done a handful of these already. And Aaron and I have never been able to make it. We're determined in 2018 to come to one.
It will happen.
But you have this, you've kind of redone your barn. Is this the 1800-year-old?
This is a brand new one.
Oh, a brand new barn. What happens in the old barn?
That's where, that's like our brooder house. That's like actual that's where like animals. Yeah.
Okay, so y'all built a new barn. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
What are you going to do with it?
So the idea behind the new barn was, I mean, the farm for the most part is kind of just holding its own. It's just a very, like I said earlier, it's just everything there is just, it's in a good place.
Yeah.
And again, Jason and I being these people that just can't just not do anything. I mean, not that we're not doing anything, but
you need a new, like,
we need a new thing.
Yeah.
We need a new thing. And so we've hosted some suppers out at the farm in the past and, just love bringing people out, showing them around, connecting with them, sitting at a table with people. We're really big food. We eat all three meals together most every day. Like we're just, the table to us is where a lot of our life happens.
That's us too. Yeah.
And so we wanted to be able to share that with others. And so Jason and I love to cook. Like, I mean, you know.
Aaron loves to cook too.
So we were like, why not bring people out to the farm and do these supper clubs and cook for them and share a meal with them? And, you know, we're going to keep them kind of small, 40 to 50 people.
Which some people are like, that sounds kind of big.
Yeah.
But it's like an event.
Yes.
So let's, you know, I think supper club and I'm like, oh, four couples. But this is more like, this is an event at the farm.
This is an event at the farm.
Yes. I love it so much.
Yeah. And so we want to do them pretty regularly. And so, yeah, we built the barn and It's
so beautiful.
Thank you. We, some friends of ours have an antique store, Old World Antiques in LaGrange, and they They're amazing too. They tore down, or reclaimed a barn that was in Iowa and, the barn was built in the late 1800s. And so we transferred
that wood
and brought it here for our barn and repurposed it and did all of that cool stuff with it. Because, you know, our original barn was built in the late 1800s. And I just, in my soul.
You couldn't put up this brand new.
No, like, yeah. And everything about our farm is like old. Mm-hmm. The house is old. And I just wanted it to still
like history
feel
and,
like, I wanted there to be character and history there. And so Jason built him a little chef cook area.
The best.
Like built him his own little smokers. And so yeah, we're just really excited about doing dinners out there more frequently. I don't know if we'll ever do like weddings or anything.
I was about to say, tell me this and I want you to be honest with me.
Yeah.
Have you imagined your girls getting married out there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I dream of that.
Yeah, I
like,
know.
Like absolutely. I'm like, they better get married.
You're like,
here.
We'll build another barn for you ladies.
Yes.
Whatever you want. I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I hope they get, I'm pretty sure they will all get married out there, but I hope that they do.
Aww.
But yeah, I think about that often and I'm like, I've got some experience in the wedding industry.
Right.
I could do a pretty good wedding
and
the food will be good.
I know.
So, I mean,
okay, so the supper clubs, you just show up and you're just treated to this amazing meal.
Yeah, we will.
And it's all food from your farm?
It's all food from our farm and other local farms.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, we don't do vegetables. So we have a vegetable farm that we'll source from. We have an artisan baker who's going to bake our breads that we're going to be eating. Yep. And then a cheese maker that has the most amazing cheeses. We work with an olive oil farm. So we really wanted to be a farm that's working with other farms and showcasing all of that together in one cohesive meal that we're going to just
like
sit down
dream,
and
eat. Lindsay. It's a dream.
Well,
the Ivies are going to be there.
Good.
I can't wait. Oh my gosh. I hope.
We're really excited about it. So
that's really fun. Yeah. So is that the most exciting thing on your horizon right now?
Yeah, that's kind of what's really next for us is to just start, you know, and I'm sure like everything else on the farm, it will evolve and, you know, grow and change as it, you know, develops.
Yeah.
But we got to just start because that's what we really feel like we're supposed to do is just begin.
Well, I'll put in the show notes and stuff how people can find out about these.
Oh,
and
great.
So, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be so much fun. Okay. But you don't grow vegetables? Because I thought I saw the other day you putting some oil on your vegetables.
Yeah. I have a garden for just our
family.
You.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no way we could produce the amount of vegetables that we're
What are you growing right now? Have I missed it? Am I too late? Can I do anything?
No, you can still get maybe some tomatoes in the ground and squash and
I did
okra.
Tomatoes in the ground last year. And I will tell you, as much as I've never been able to grow anything, we did get 4 or 5 tomatoes.
That's good.
And then I went out of town and they all died. You know, I don't want to so bad.
I know. It's hard. Gardening is hard for me. Jason is so meticulous and so he's good at it. I'm not good at it. Every year, I'm like a hopeful, optimistic every single year. I'm like, this
because
is going to be my best garden
work
yet.
Every day, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to water it every day.
That was the dumbest question I've ever asked my entire life. Like,
well, no,
gardening takes work every day.
But it's true. Yeah. There's a lot of life lessons there for me too.
Like, I always say, and I have those like big, you know, like a trough.
Yeah.
So I have one of those that we have herbs in. And that's great. Like,
yeah.
It's great. But I sometimes envision getting more of those.
That'd be great. So we do container.
Animals off of it too.
Yeah, we do container gardens, which means we just put them up off the ground.
Yeah.
There's no way that we could, I wouldn't want to put them in the ground where we are because we would be competing with like pasture grass and weeds and stuff. So we just pull them up.
Do you have water going through it or do you hand water it?
I hand water everything.
Okay.
Yeah, or my girls. That's one of their chores. Yeah, but I have to watch them sometimes because they won't water the plants long enough. Uh-huh. They're like, just sprinkle a little bit. And I'm like, honey, they need more water than that.
It's 178 degrees outside.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Do y'all have pets?
We have a lot of pets.
Like that you're not going to ever kill and eat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have, well, we know we have the typical dogs and cats.
Yeah.
And then we have a lamb, one lamb.
Aww.
Shelby.
It's never going to become lamb stew.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
We raised a lamb for a while. We just don't have a huge market for lamb here in Texas.
Didn't your daughter have a lamb on a leash when I saw you guys in Round Top?
Yes. Yeah. So she had a bottle baby. That was Shelby. And we still have, that's
Aww.
Shelby. So we still have her. And then there are several pigs that are basically our mamas. They will just be mamas. They're going to have our babies. We will never butcher them. And most of them we bottle fed from babies, whether or not they got stepped on or were the runt or, you know, it's very like Charlotte's Web and we saved their life. And so
I cried reading Charlotte's Web to my kids.
It's so precious.
And Aaron was like, did you not know how this was going to end? And I was like, I knew, but it was so hard.
Yeah.
I do love when you and Jason put up videos of the new pigs.
Yes.
And having to move them around so they can get in there. And
And some of them will let especially my second daughter, Lainey Ray, they'll let her get right up in there with them as they're delivering. And she's just so sweet talking to the mama and encouraging
Stress-free.
Her. Stress-free.
Stress-free mama. You got this.
That's right. I have even used essential oils delivering piglets before.
What essential oils?
I mean, we like clary sage and just like the hormone ones to try to help get labor going. Like if a pig gets stalled.
I needed those last night for my cat.
Yeah, you can use oils.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Reader, are you reading anything these days?
I am a reader. I love reading. I read every single night. I'm currently reading The Energy Bus.
I don't know this.
Okay. It's such a good, it's cheesy. It's super cheesy, but I love it because it's kind of written in a storyline and it's all about the power of thought, like just positive thoughts and just, you know, taking captive of the negative thoughts and just your perception of everyday life bumps in the road.
Okay.
So it's a good one.
The Energy Bus.
The Energy Bus. There's a book for children too. The Energy Bus for children.
Okay.
You have a child that maybe struggles with maybe some negativity there. So,
oh.
And then I'm reading The Road Back to You. I'm really into personality tests.
Do you know your number?
I'm a 2. I'm a helper.
You're a helper.
Yeah. What are you?
Which is surprising that you didn't want to like jump in with Jason and help with the farm.
I know, but that's originally why I had to.
To be, because it's in you.
Yeah. That I was like, I was like, okay, well, I guess I could either fight him tooth and nail and this be a source of, you know, contention in our marriage forever because it's clearly something that he loves
it's
to do.
It's his gifting. It's what he was made to do.
Yeah. Or I could help him in this and just get over myself and over my selfishness and just decide to help him. So I think that worked well for me in that situation.
Yeah. Lindsay, this has been so much fun.
Oh, this has been a blast. I'm so easy. So, like we're just sitting here talking.
Talking.
I love that we did it face to face.
I know. It's so much better, isn't it?
I love it. I love it.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Guys, don't forget, if you're tired of replacing all the items that you sent to daycare and school over and over and over again, you need Mabel's Labels. Their dishwasher and laundry safe personalized labels are easy to peel and stick to anything, from shoes to sippy cups, and they'll ensure your kids' stuff comes home at the end of every day. And did we mention they're offering free shipping to you guys? Head to mabelslabels.com/happyhour to start customizing your own, and you can use the code happyhour for 20% off your order. Okay, guys, I know that you love Lindsay. I told you that you would. And am I right? You want to be a farmer, or maybe you just want to marry a farmer, or maybe you just want to buy from these farmers, whatever it is, guys, to keep up with their family and know more about their upcoming supper clubs and order some of their food. Make sure that you're following them on Instagram. I'm going to put all of their Instagram information in the show notes. So check those out at jamieivy.com/blog. Today's show was edited by Chris with Podshaper, and the music was developed for the show by Matt Graham. Next week, my guest is Ruth Simons, and we had the best conversation. We start off with her sharing the funniest thing about herself. It's actually something that I'm quite jealous of. You're going to love our conversation. Guys, enjoy the week. Share this show with a girlfriend and have a happy hour with a friend. I'll see you guys back here next week with my friend, Ruth.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.